This morning, I want to do something a little bit different. I don't have a sermon for you. I hear silence. I thought I'd hear a sigh of relief. But I want to use a reading that kind of takes us through the plan of God from creation to the resurrection. And then we're going to look at some passages from the scriptures that are related to the resurrection. Now, this reading, I have no idea where it came from originally. It came to me more than 20 years ago. I don't know who wrote it. It's a little poem, and there will be some music background to it. But we have to begin by singing again. I want you to take your hymn books. Oh, I forgot to bring a hymn book up. And turn to number 424. You can remain seated as we sing this, number 424. We're going to sing the first two verses only of Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Verses 1 and 2. You ask me to tell you the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. You want the old, old story, and nothing else will do. Indeed, I do not wonder, it always seems so new. I often wish that someone would tell it to me each day. I never would get tired of what they had to say. But I am wasting moments. Oh, how shall I begin to tell the old, old story, how Jesus saves from sin? Listen, and I will tell you. God help both you and me, and make this wondrous story His message unto thee. Once, in a beautiful garden, God placed a happy pair, and all within was peaceful, and all around was fair. But oh, they disobeyed Him. The one thing He denied, they longed for, took, and tasted. They ate it, and they died. Yet in His love and pity, the Lord at once declared that man, the lost and ruined, might after all be spared. For one of Eve's descendants, not sinful like the rest, should spoil the work of Satan and man be saved and blessed. He should be son of Adam, but son of God as well, and bring complete salvation from sin and death and hell. Hundreds of years were over. Adam and Eve had died, and the following generation, and many more beside. At last, some shepherds, watching beside their flock at night, were startled by a sudden, strange and heavenly light. One of the holy angels had come from heaven above to tell them of the story of Jesus and his love. He came to bring glad tidings. He said, "You need not, must not fear, for Christ, your newborn Savior, lies in a village near." And many other angels took up the story then, singing, "To God on high be glory, goodwill and peace to men." Was this story true? The shepherds hastened at once to see and found him in a manger and knew that it was he. He whom God to them had promised so many ages past had come to save poor sinners. Yes, he had come at last. 'Twas his delight to do it, to seek and save the lost. Although he knew beforehand, knew all that it would cost. His last 3 years were lovely. He could no more be hid, but time and strength would fail me to tell you all he did. He gave away no money, for he had none to give. But he had power of healing and made the dead to live. He did good things so kindly, it seemed his heart's delight to make poor people happy from morning until night. He heard each tale of sorrow with an attentive ear and took away each burden of suffering and of fear. He was a man of sorrows, and when he gave relief, he gave it as a brother, acquainted with the grief. Such was the man, Christ Jesus, the friend of sinful men. But hush, the tale grows sadder. I'll tell it if I can. This holy, gentle Jesus, without a spot or stain, by wicked hands was taken and crucified and slain. Look, look if you can bear it. Look at your dying Lord. Stand near the cross of suffering and change it for a crown. Why did he bear their mockings? Was he not Almighty God? Could he not have destroyed them with one almighty word? Yes, Jesus could have done it. But let me tell you why he would not use his power, but chose to stay and die. He had become our surety, and what we could not pay, he paid instead for us on that one dreadful day. For you and me he suffered. 'Twas for our sins he died. But not for ours alone, but for the world beside. Now the work is finished. The sinner's debt is paid. Because on Christ, the righteous, the sin of all was laid. Wonderful redemption. God's remedy for sin. The door of heaven is open, and we may enter in. For God released our surety to show the work was done, and Jesus' resurrection declared the victory won. But when he left his people, he promised them to send a comforter to keep us and guide us to the end. And this same holy Jesus is with us to this day and ready now to teach us the new and living way. Wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. The door of heaven is open. Yes, we may enter in. Full soon our eyes shall see him, and in our home above, we'll sing the old, old story of Jesus and his love. What a story that is. What an amazing story of Jesus and his love. The fact that Jesus left heaven's glory, he left all that he had there amidst the holy angels and the worship of the angels. He left it all to come to earth, a sinful, cursed earth, to live with sinful human beings. And ultimately, he gave up his life. He died on a cross. He died in our stead for our sin, to pay the penalty for our sin. And after his death on that cross, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. I want to read the account from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 38 to 42. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. Just a little side note there, I can't get over that. When you think about today's world, the paperwork that would be required for that, to get permission to take somebody's body and bury it. But anyway, it wasn't so complicated then. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Can't help thinking of the little song that we played earlier in the service on, you know, with the video up on the screen here. And the question, where's the hope in that? What hope would there be if that was the end of the story? They buried Jesus in a tomb. But as we know, that is not the end. It is not the end of the story at all. After 3 days in the tomb, he rose again. I want to continue reading from John chapter 20. We already read this account from Luke, but I want to read John's account. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. And later on, as you go on and read in this account, later that day, Jesus appeared to the other disciples as they had themselves locked in a room because they were afraid of the Jews, the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders accused them of stealing the body of Jesus. And so they were afraid and they were locked in a room, and yet Jesus came into the room and showed himself to them. So what is the significance of all of this for us? Two verses. First one is from 1 Peter 2, verse 24. It says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." That's why he did it. So that we might have his righteousness as we trust in him. And then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake he made him who knew no sin," pardon me, "for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." He took our sin so that we might have his righteousness. I can't think of a better exchange than that. To give him our sin. Our sin was placed on him so that his righteousness might be placed on and in us. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. We started the service with them, and I want to end with that. "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay.'" I want to conclude this morning by singing hymn number 220. Number 220. "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near."